Hey, everybody, we're back. And with us on the hotline, we've got Chris Moneymaker, the winner of the 2003 World Series of Poker. Welcome to the On Tilt Radio Airways, Chris.
Thanks for having me on. How's everything going?
Good. We have a big charity event tonight.
Yeah, all over place for the U.S. and online. So, exciting night.
Yep. So, my first question for you, sir, is how did you do in the Poker Stars Caribbean Adventure?
I made it to late into day two and plopped a really big hand, and I went from trapping to hero calling by the river. So, it was an interesting hand, but it crippled me, and I was on a very difficult table, but I lost all my chips to one of the guys I was sort of targeting, so, you know, that happens sometimes, and busted like 30 minutes before the start of day three.
So you've seen a bunch of your friends down there. Was Dan Harkenrider, was he there?
Yep, he traveled down there with me. We did some cool radio stuff, and, you know, just sort of went on vacation a little bit, too. So his bucket list item was to go down to the PCA, so I told him I was going to make that happen for him this year. So he was like a kid in a candy store. He had a good time.
I bet. Yeah, we broadcast the Division of Poker Radio shows here at On Tilt Radio as well. I know that you were doing something there with him for a little while. Weren't you doing a Chris Moneymaker show?
We were doing it, and we actually just got through filming a lot of content for that, and that'll be coming back out now that I got final approval to do everything. We had to sort of shelve it until I got approval to do so. You know, I've got a lot of different sponsors, which is really cool, but they all have to have their little legal counsel sign off on everything and give me the go-ahead before I can do anything full bore. It's, you know, the red tape you have to jump through sometimes, but, you know, the great partners to work with, they're just overly cautious.
You're a Blue Shark Optics pro member, correct?
That is correct.
Because, listen, I own a pair of Chris Moneymaker's Blue Shark Optics. Carrie gave me a pair for Christmas, I believe, a year or two ago. And they're my favorite pair. I saw Dan wearing a pair at a poker room here in Cleveland, and I fell in love with them right away. And when I play poker, they're the only pair that I care to wear, because I also own the Tiger Sharks, too. But the Tiger Sharks, they have the MP3 player built into them, which they no longer make. They just seem, you know, I mean, I'd rather listen to what's going on at the poker table than the music. So, but the Chris Moneymaker that I have, they're real lightweight. I love them. They're awesome.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I went and picked out the frame, and you know, Carrie, you know, told me basically to design the glasses how I want them and how I like to wear, what kind of glasses I like to wear. So, I spent a couple of weeks trying to find the right pair, and it was a painstaking process, I guess, but, you know, not the end of the world process, but it was fun, and finally came with the pair I liked, and that's the end result, and I'm very happy with what I've got. I've owned several pair of them, and, you know, starting to promote them more and more as 2015 rolls around, trying to get them in with my partners, and hopefully they'll be a very common thing on the tournament circuit.
How did you meet Carrie?
I met Carrie probably about, it's been several years now. I'm pretty sure it was at the World Series. I've run into him a lot, and I saw his sunglasses early on. I thought it was a cool idea. I thought it was a cool concept. I remember back right after I won the main event, I went to the Oakley headquarters and, you know, told them, you know, this is sort of an idea I want to have, and they're like, eh, we don't really want to do that. We don't think it's a viable market or whatever. So they didn't do it, and, you know, I come up a couple of years later, Carrie did it, and, you know, he's turned it into a successful business. It's, I mean, literally, if you play poker, you just can't beat not having to take off the glasses all the time. Because, you know, when I played with my other brands, I mean, literally I had to take them off, put them on, take them off, put them on, because my eyes would hurt, and I couldn't see the table. But with these, I can just leave them on all the time, and they're very comfortable, and literally doesn't filter out any of the light, so I can see really well. And he's done a great job. And Kerry's, you know, he's a salt of the earth, as you know. He's just easy to work with, just a great guy.
Yes, Kerry is. What do you like most about your Blue Shark Optics? Because when I have mine on, I use mine for looking at my opponents more so than just shielding my eyes and my tells. I use it to look at their tells without them knowing I'm looking at them.
I do it for several reasons. One, I definitely use it for looking at other people. I'm not really concerned about hiding my tells as much. But the other time I use it is, you know, when I don't want my opponents to know I'm not paying attention. Because there are times where, you know, when you're playing a long day, you know, you need to take mental breaks, and I listen to meditation tapes. So I'll put my sunglasses on, shut my eyes, and do some meditation. And, you know, it's good because people don't know that my eyes are shut and that I'm not paying a bit of attention to what's going on. I'm somewhere else, but I don't want my opponents really to know that. And so I use it for that reason as well.
So when you're sitting at the poker table and you got your headphones on, that's what you're listening to is meditation tapes, or do you have music in there?
I have a lot of different stuff. I mean, most of the time I try not to listen to music, but if I start playing bad or, you know, I feel like my game is not as sharp as it needs to be, I'll listen to some meditation stuff. If I'm sort of in a zone, but, you know, I'm getting where I'm a little bit tired, I'll start listening to more upbeat music and different things. I've got a play set that I usually listen to that keeps me amped up and keeps me in my A game.
So upbeat music?
It's a mixed bag. I'm sorry?
A mixed bag, huh? So a little bit of country, a little bit of rock.
Nah, there's maybe one country song on there. A lot of rock, some rap, some hip-hop, just some dance music, just a lot of different stuff. You know, it depends on what mood I'm in. I mean, I've got it categorized by upbeat, you know, soothing, you know, really it's try to counterbalance whatever, you know. There'll be times when I'm playing and, you know, I start to realize that I'm opening up way too much of my range and I just need to slow down. So, you know, I need to really calm down. And so I'll start listening to some soothing music to slow me down or start listening to meditation to just get back into a more relaxed state. And I can usually tell when I'm reaching that point when I start trying to look at my cards out of turn. That's usually an indication for me personally that I'm too antsy. If I'm patient, wait for my cards to come, and I'm, you know, monitoring the table, I know I'm in my comfort zone as far as paying attention. It's when I start looking at my cards early and, you know, or watching what's on TV or just getting sort of preoccupied. I probably have a little bit of ADD in me, so, you know, I've got to be a little bit fidgety and a little bit moving around, which is tough for poker at times, but so it takes a little bit more for me to get calmed down and focused on the game.
ADD, that's one thing that I probably wouldn't put you on, because when I look at some of your YouTube clips, or if I'm watching you at a poker game, you seem to be very calm, cool, and collective.
A lot of meditation, a lot of relaxation. You know, I really do try to, you know, like whenever I'm in a pressure situation, it actually calms me a lot. It's generally when I'm like day one of a tournament or when I'm playing smaller, you know, that's when I sort of get antsy. I mean, but once my blood's pumping and the pressure's on, I definitely feel like I'm more focused, and I just like that. I like the situations when you get to the money bubble or you make a final table, things like that. That's when I feel like I play my best and I'm really sort of in the zone. And, you know, it's always the first couple days of a tournament or if I'm playing a small cash game, I tend to lose a lot of focus and I don't play my A game.
What other kind of games do you like to play? If I won the World Series of Poker main event playing Texas Hold'em, I would definitely say Texas Hold'em is my favorite game. But is there any other games that you like to play, like Omaha or?
Oh yeah, I mean, I pretty much when I play on Poker Stars, literally I play 8-game, I play the 10-game mix. During the series, dealers. I mean, I like the dealer's choice games. I like all the mixed games. I mean, you know, I love Texas Hold'em. Don't get me wrong, but you know, it's two cards. It can get monotonous. I mean, it's definitely good to keep your mind sharp and to play different games. And to be honest, I mean, with the skill level of players in today's game, you really need to have flexibility to play other games, whether it be Omaha, Omaha High Low, or any of the stud games. I mean, you know, because there might be a great stud, you know, a great mixed game going on that if you don't know how to play, you're not going to be able to capitalize on. You're stuck in a tougher no limit game potentially. So it's always good just to, you know, at least learn the other games.
Yes, definitely a good idea to learn the other games. What about your book? I mean, do you have any books that have recently come out that maybe some of our listeners might not know about? Or,
well, I wrote a book a long time ago. It was just sort of an autobiography slash story. But literally, I just finished writing a chapter. Like when I wrote the first book, I said I'm never writing a book again because it was a very tedious process and one that I just didn't want to experience again. But I did agree to write a chapter of a book with Jonathan Little, and that'll be coming out. We just literally wrapped it up this past weekend, so it'll probably be coming out sometime later this year. I don't think it's going to be as far as next year. I think it should be sometime this year. And it's going to have 20 different authors in there. I'm sure you'll recognize probably almost all of them, if not all of them. So it'll be a very interesting book, to say the least. So I was excited about that project. And again, it took me long enough to write one chapter. I don't want to go through a whole book again.
Well, Chris, what about the book you have now? It says that you've got a book, How to Play, How an Amateur Poker Player Turned $40 into $2.5 million at the World Series of Poker. Is that the chapter you're talking about? Or is that the book?
No, that's actually a book that I wrote, I mean, literally like a year after I won. It's more of an autobiography. It's just the story of my victory.
And we can still get a hold of that, correct?
I don't know if they sell it anymore or not. I mean, I'm sure you can find it on Amazon or some resale sites.
You betcha it's on Amazon.
Yep. It's, you know, again, I wrote that back in like 04, 05 time frame. Really is my first venture as far as poker or doing anything. And it was definitely a learning experience and opened my eyes up to a lot of things in business, one, and in how difficult writing a book is because, you know.
I bet from being an accountant to poker player, pro poker player, and to writing a book. I mean, I've had some writer's block, definitely.
Yeah, like, to me, honestly, like, going through school and everything, English was not my favorite subject. Literature, you know, any kind of, like, I hated doing book reports, I hated doing all that stuff. I was more of a science and math and that type student. So, when the opportunity came for me to write a book, I didn't jump at it, but, you know, I thought it would be a good idea to at least put it on paper and, you know, have it out there, and it was a lot more difficult than I thought it would be, honest.
Absolutely.
And I had a ghostwriter, too, so I didn't write the whole thing by hand. I actually just sat down and, you know, talked into a microphone, and he wrote it out, but then I had to go proofread it. It was not overly
a little bit tedious and not your cup of tea, huh?
And not my cup of tea. That's the best way to put it.
Hey, listen, Chris, we have a chat room, and we have a question from the chat room for you. It comes from Jelen. And Jelen asks, what do you do for fun / hobby? Other than, and it has nothing to do with poker.
Well, I don't consider poker, I mean, I consider poker fun still, don't get me wrong, but I definitely don't do it for fun. Basically, I have three kids at home, and between me being on the road, having three kids, I just dropped my daughter off at gymnastics, then we got cheer, we got soccer, so, I mean, honestly, I don't really have time for fun. I mean, I raise three kids, and anybody that raises three kids, me and my wife are always busy. I mean, I play golf periodically, but it's not very often. I watch sports. I'm an avid college football NFL follower. But most of my activities now are centered around my kids. And then, you know, when I do have free time, I've got a lot of different projects going on that I'm working on. And pretty much between all that, it keeps me pretty busy.
Yeah, I bet it does. So, yeah, I would say fun for you would be, an afternoon at Chuck E. Cheese?
I mean, you know, honestly, my normal day is, you know, we get going, get the kids to school, run our errands. I try to put in a couple hours of work if I can, pick the kids up, and then literally every day we have some kind of sports practice that we take them to. And, you know, after that, me and my wife get some time to watch some TV at night, and I go up and get some work done and start all over again.
I totally understand where you're coming from there. I coached youth sports for 17 years, and we lived at the field for practice and games, and we were fast food junkies. We picked them up from school, and boom, we were at the field, so either having a game or practice, and it was the same thing over and over and over for 17 years, so I definitely know where you're coming from. Do you coach your kids at all?
Tough. I used to coach my daughter, her soccer team, but it got to the point where, with my travel schedule, it just I'm out on the weekends a lot, and then I can't ever know for sure. Like, I can control my schedule to an extent, but when I got the Hollywood Poker Open deal, you know, we set those so far out in advance, and they're on the weekends. I can't commit to coaching a team. I try to make every event I can. We just went down to Chattanooga for a cheerleading competition. So, I mean, we're always on the go with the stuff, and we're trying to, you know, get them as many activities as we can. And yeah, the fast food's definitely a problem, because we go and stop at fast food nearly every night. And that's our 2015 resolution, is to actually try to do crock pot dinners and eat at home and just manage our time better to eat better.
Oh, I just joined a group on Facebook. It's Clean Eating from Crockpot Menus. It's nothing but the good food without the GMOs and stuff. So I'm anxious to try that out and see how I can do with the crock pot, because I am not a cook. I hate to cook. I love to bake, but my husband is the cook. So we're going to give it a shot and see see how I do with it. So good luck to you, because, man, that fast food can put the pounds on you, and I know it's hard to take them off, because I've been a little chubby checker for quite a while and quit smoking, and man, those pounds of food tasted so good. I'm like, oh my God, this tastes so good. I can't believe it.
Same thing happened to me. I quit smoking about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago now, and I mean, after that, between that and the fat, yeah, I've just ballooned up. It's really bad. So
yeah, and you try to put your pants on, your jeans on, they don't button up. It's like, oh my God, you just want to cry, and you sit on the bed, and you lay on the bed and suck in and try to get the zipper up, and it kind of sucks. So good luck with your healthy eating, the crock pot meals.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, and the problem is for me is, you know, I'll do the crock pot meals for like 3 or 4 days, or we'll do healthy eating for 3 or 4 days. Then I go on the road, and it's tough to have the consistency, because half the time I'm on the road, half the time I'm at home, and I'm on the go a lot. So
I know we need
so convenient.
And we need a Violet's Vegan in every state by a casino. She's getting ready to open up her restaurant. So
tomorrow
we need one of those everywhere.
Actually, I think she delayed it. I saw something on Twitter where they're delaying it a few days.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
I know, she's super excited about it.
I don't think I could ever go vegan. I like eating steak too much, but
yeah.
We're doing the paleo diet at night, just cut out the carbs and things, and I mean, starting to exercise, and I mean, it's tough, especially being a poker player, but you know, when you look now at the top of the GPI and all the good players, I mean, they're all in shape. I mean, we've gone from where, you know, poker players were average age of 50 and weighed 250 to now they're 23 and all in really good shape.
I know. Well, look at us. We sit at a computer all day and we play online poker. I mean, we used to before Black Friday, and we just pack the pounds on. I mean, we need to start an exercise group to get our butts in shape and work our legs out. And I mean, on a 5-minute break in a tournament, stand up and do something, you know, because it's ridiculous. We're just getting fatter and fatter, and people call us degenerate gamblers. So, and we look horrible. So, yeah, we need to do something, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, you see all these people, and they look the same, and, you know, we're white as ghosts. And, I mean, you know, we just coming back from the PCA, and been down there for a week to 10 days, and everybody looks as white as they were when they got down there. So no tans, no nothing. Just, you know, they sat inside and played the whole time.
Did y'all wear your shorts and flip-flops?
Yeah, I packed a swimsuit, shorts, flip-flops, all this stuff, and I pulled it out of my bag one day. Other than that, I was doing work or in the poker room pretty much nonstop.
Yep, you never, you know, it's useless to pack so many clothes and shoes and outfits and this, because you usually wear one thing. You go to the table, you sit there and you play for days or hours. You go up, catch a break, you know, catch something to eat and maybe snooze for about 10 minutes, and you're back at it. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. You can buy clothes there and bring them home. I mean, bring your souvenirs home. Save you on carry-on baggage, too, because I know how women pack.
Yeah, it's wild, cause I usually pack more like a woman, because I pack so many different options, because I don't know really what, I pack nice clothes for final tables, I pack nice clothes for interviews and appearances, but I also pack dress down stuff if I bust, and then, if I'm going somewhere tropical, I try to pack some shorts and stuff just in case. So, I try to, at least prepare for whatever, and usually poker stars will have me doing some kind of crazy adventure, whether it be bungee jumping or, jumping into a shark cage or whatever it is. So I got to be prepared for that with clothes, and just, my bags are usually packed.
Oh, my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I was going to ask you a question. What is the most ridiculous prop bet you've ever done?
I'm not a big prop bettor.
Well, you're getting in shark tanks for for poker stars and bungee cord jumping.
Yeah, I just do that for free. I just do that stuff for free.
Oh my God, I wouldn't. But bungee jumping, shark tanks? No, thank you. This fat girl likes to keep her feet on the ground.
Yeah, unfortunately, my whole life, pretty much if anybody asks me to do something, I pretty much say yes, unless it's just wrong.
Oh, you're a yes man.
Anything that could be fun, I'm usually game for it. So, the skydiving, sure, why not? I'm pretty free spirit and will try just about anything once.
Twice if you like it, huh?
Yeah, twice if I like it, sometimes a lot. So just, literally, but I don't prop bet a whole lot. I mean, I'm a degen at heart, but I'm trying to, limit my degenness as much as I possibly can.
I'll never forget the time when Gavin came into Binion's and said that he had a prop bet to fight some MMA box kick lady for $1,000. He came in the Binion's the next day. He had gotten his ass whooped. He had bruises from head to toe. Crazy.
I bet he did. And that would be, someone offered me that prop bet, I'd tell them there's no way in hell. Nope, not going to do it.
Exactly. I'm not going to get in there and have somebody just whoop my ass,
Yeah. First of all, I don't care if it's man, woman, child, whatever. If they're trained in MMA and you're not, you're dead.
You know where they're going to shoot for, too, they're not supposed to, but there's no refs around to do anything, so.
Yeah, well, they don't even have to shoot for that. I've done some MMA training, and there's some bad people in that sport.
Oh, God, I know. But it's exciting, though. Isn't it exciting to watch?
Yeah, actually, the sad thing is I actually had a goal to jump in the ring by the time I was 40. I made that goal like a year ago, and because I got a buddy that owns a gym, and I thought this is going to be fun. I want to fight somebody. I used to box. I used to wrestle. So what the heck? I could do this. Started training and was getting in better shape, but found out I just really liked food a lot more than I liked to fight. if I would have made a bet, I probably would have gone through with it. But I didn't make a bet. And around that same time, that's when I sort of quit smoking, and like you said, food just starts tasting better. And
it's crazy, insane, isn't it? Oh my God, you taste this, and I haven't tasted this in 40 years, because I smoked for 40 years, and I quit last January, and I'm like, oh my God, my husband
two
and I are like,
Januaries ago, Pam.
Food is just like, oh.
It does taste better, doesn't it? It's weird.
Yeah, it does. So I got a couple rapid fire questions for you, and my husband Robin wants to come on and chat. If you've got the time, we don't want you running off the road or anything, but we've been trying to get you here for a while.
I'm just pumping gas right now, so.
Awesome. So, because I know Alarmy's still got some questions, and I got some rapid fire questions for you, and then the other owner of On Tilt Radio, Robin Jones, would like to chat a little bit, if that's cool.
Yeah, of course, no problem.
Cool.
Hi, Chris. This is Robin.
Hey, Robin.
We've been doing this for quite a while when we started On Tilt Radio, and we've interviewed quite a few of poker players, a lot of the young guns, a lot of the older players, the guys that's been around since Binion's. It was like mafia days. And a lot of people, we ask them the question, how they got involved in poker. And majority of them will say, Chris Moneymaker. I got involved during the Chris Moneymaker boom. Chris Moneymaker, if he can do it, I can do it. And it's all, how do you feel to this day that a lot of people got into this game because of you?
Well, you know, it's always cool to hear, and it's always fun. I mean, you know, that's one of the cool things when you go to a casino. People will tell you, you know, I started playing because of you, yada, yada. And it's a really good feeling. But I will say recently, the more I hear it, it's, you know, I was 12 when you won. I started playing because of you. The whole, I was 12 or 13, you know, makes me just feel really old and, you know.
So it is catching up to you then.
What's that?
It is catching up to you then, huh? Finally, after all these years, when everybody says...
The thing is, these kids, they're 21 years old or better than me, and it's, you know, like, wow, they're just coming in so refined, and their game is so good. It's just, it's tough. It's a tough business, but, you know, it's definitely cool to hear, and, you know, but they always throw in there, yeah, I was 12, 13, 14 years old, so...
Yeah, we know how it's going nowadays. As a matter of fact, one of our... Part-time. He started out as a full-time radio host, and he went part-time, but he just won a, just turned 21. 3 days after he turned 21, he won a WPT event for $400,000.
Sounds about right. I mean, you know, the guy, those young guys have the stamina, and, I mean, the sheer number of them is more than, I mean, there's still a lot of old guys like me that play. I mean, the seniors event, I'm not there yet, but, you know, they get $4,000 a year, so... And, you know, we'll pop up and win one here and there. And, you know, I'm trying to stay young. I've got a lot of young friends, and, you know, the game keeps you young. So I don't feel old. I feel like I'm 22.
Well, honey, you're as old as you feel.
I'm 22.
Exactly. You're as old as you feel. So if you feel like a young skipper do, then keep on acting like that. Because if you feel old, then you're going to just sink in a damn recliner and never want to get out.
Or if you let the bad beats take you down, eventually it will take you down. So,
You said that it makes you feel good when people say that, you know, they hear your, you know, people say, oh, Chris Moneymaker, you're the reason why I got into poker. You, Chris Moneymaker, to me, is the Doyle Brunson of online poker, because if it hadn't been for you playing online and winning your satellite and then turning that money into Mega Millions, I mean, that's... I never personally got to congratulate you, but I will now. Congratulations. That's just... How did you feel when you won that? I mean, what do you feel? And what was the first thing you bought?
Honestly, it was really surreal. I mean, you know, you've been... I mean, back then, you know, you play tournaments now, and they sort of treat you nice. You know, you're done by 10 o'clock in the evening, and you get to go back and get a good night's sleep. It was more of a marathon back then. We played till 4 in the morning sometimes, 2 in the morning. Every morning was like 1 or 2 in the morning. We started at noon, and, I mean, so literally by the time you made the final table, you were pretty much wiped out. You know, you're running straight on adrenaline, and, I mean, after I was done, honestly, I just wanted to go find a bed and curl up. It was just, I was so excited / so exhausted that, you know, it was tough and a grueling 7 days, but after it was on, you know, a wave of relaxation hits you, and basically I went home, went back to work Monday morning, and tried to get back to my normal life.
It's got to be like mind-boggling. You said you get into a lot of meditation. Do you ever use any essential oils to help clear your mind and when you meditate?
Nope, never done any of that. I basically, it's just you know, gives me an excuse when I'm at home or on the road just to lay down and take a nap almost. You know, especially when I'm at home, it's really nice. I tell my wife I got to go meditate, so gets me away from the kids for a few minutes, and you know, I try to practice it as often as I can. You know, I can't really clear my mind all the way. My mind's always racing about what I have to do or what needs to be done. So even when I'm meditating, my mind's still racing a little bit. But I will say, after doing it for a while now, that it does become clear. I mean, it used to be running a mile a minute. Now I can slow things down and sort of, you know, be relaxed.
Awesome. I'm going to let Alarmy get back to you with his questions, and then when he's done, I'll do my rapid fire, and then we can just let you go and get on the felt and kick some serious ass.
Well, I really don't have a whole lot of other questions. What I would like to get from you, Chris, is what advice can you give our listeners about how they too can become a successful poker player like Chris Moneymaker?
Well, the advice I always give anybody that's up and coming is just, I mean, it's not the best advice that people want to hear, but to have a backup plan. I mean, poker is a great game, and I would recommend everybody playing it from a social aspect. But being a full-time professional poker player is very difficult, and the industry is constantly changing. You know, if you're an online poker grinder, for example, I mean, the government took it away from us recently. I mean, you know, you just never know what direction things are going to go. And the game is changing and evolving, and people that were pros in 2005 are no longer pros. So, you know, you can be a professional poker player, but make sure that you keep your resume relatively intact. You have some kind of job to where you can have something else. And, you know, also when you get to be 40 years old, I mean, you want to start a family and stuff. Poker and family is a very difficult balance. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have sponsorships and do other things that keep me busy. And like I said, poker is an amazing game, and it should be done as often as you want for fun. But once you start doing it for a living, the fun comes out of it a little bit. So my best advice would be to make sure you have backup plans.
Just have a backup plan. This is great advice.
Boring advice, but probably the best advice I could give.
I know I watched a YouTube clip with you here a little while back, and you were talking about how when you went to play live at the World Series of Poker that you ended up winning, you felt intimidated at first by, you know, the players, the professional poker players that you were playing with. And I think the advice that you gave was just to relax and don't worry about them. You know,
back then poker was not like it was today. I mean, now, you know, if you play poker long enough, you've played with enough pros, you've played with people you've seen on TV, and I mean, you sort of realize that, you know, they don't have superhuman powers. They get the same card, and I just remember thinking, you know, they get the same two cards I get. They just play them better. So I just got to not let them play them better than me. I, you know, got to play smart, and you know, I didn't let their pro, or you know, the fact that they were pro, change the way I was going to play my hand. I was going to play it as best I possibly could and make as best decisions I could. And if I did that, I felt like I was going to be all right.
Yeah, I've always found it easier to play a pro.
Yeah, honestly, in my opinion, it's easier to play a pro than it is. Like, amateurs give me more, like, it's not even the amateurs that get into trouble, it's the really wild guys that you just don't know what they're doing. I mean, you know, amateurs that call off their stack too wide or whatever, they're pretty easy to play as well. It's just, it's the guys that are just not insane, but they're just wild cards. They know enough to be dangerous, but then, you know, don't know things. Those are the guys that give me the most trouble.
Yep. So, hey, Pam, you there? You got your rapid-fire questions there?
I do. I always have my rapid-fire questions. You know that. So, Chris, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I won't put you on the clock because I don't want to embarrass you. But boxers or briefs?
Boxers.
What's your earliest memory?
Getting a switch.
What did you enjoy most about school?
Science.
Name one thing you missed as being a kid.
Video games.
What was your favorite musical group when you were in junior high school?
Dave Matthews Band.
When you were a kid, what did you want to do when you grew up?
Astronaut or doctor.
What was your favorite childhood injury?
I don't think there is a thing as favorite. I guess the scar on my knee, because it was cool.
See, you got a favorite one because it's cool. Like my son, he's got one on his ankle, and he says it's his caterpillar because it looks like a caterpillar. So I guess that's your favorite, huh? When was the first time you had a beer?
14.
Worst roommate you ever had?
By name or after college? professional poker player now. Just completely disgusting.
Pig, huh?
I'm sorry?
He was a pig, huh? Or
yeah.
She.
He was a pig.
So what is your worst dating experience?
Worst dating experience? Probably a blind date. The description of the girl was not the girl. I went down to go pick her up, and I drove by and saw what she looked like. I was like, that can't be her. Kept going, and the road dead ended, and I realized that was her.
What do you consider the most important event of your life so far?
Birth of my children.
Awesome.
Good answer.
What do you consider your greatest achievement?
It has to be winning the main event.
Awesome. Good answers. Do you have any phobias?
Heights.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So do you feel you have a purpose or calling in life?
Honestly, I don't think about that very much. I'm not very spiritual. I think things happen for a reason, and I just try to do the right thing and try to help people when I can. But I don't think there's a calling or purpose. I don't know.
So what do you think is the greatest invention in your lifetime and why?
Greatest invention in my lifetime? This has to be rapid fire, huh? Probably cell phones, I guess. Just because it makes life so much easier using them every day. And I mean, I'm sure I'm missing some like obvious thing that makes me look terrible, but with how much I use my cell phone compared to back when we were growing up, they didn't have cell phones or they were those big bricks. I'm dating myself a little bit, but I'm gonna have to go with that.
So if you were going to die in 24 hours, name three things you would do in the time you had left.
Jeez. Probably just hang out with my family, try and do something fun with my kids, and then something fun with my wife.
Awesome. Well, that's it for my rapid fire questions. Great answers. When you get this book, your paragraph written with Jonathan Little, I would love to get a copy and have it autographed by you guys. He's also a Blue Shark Optics teammate, so that'd be cool to have in my library, my poker library. I'd also like to
I'm
get
sure
your other book.
I'm sure we can definitely get that done. Yeah. I just got it to him, so.
Yeah, I'd also like to get your other book autographed and put that in my library. We do want to thank you for coming on. You got to do just one more favor for me.
Fire away.
Just say, this is Chris Moneymaker, and you're listening to On Tilt Radio.
This is Chris Moneymaker, and you're listening to On Tilt Radio.
Sweet. That's all my questions, Alarmy.
I only have one more thing. We have a thing at On Tilt Radio to where all of our members and other Blue Shark Optics people call in and they give us four words. Blue Shark Optics rock. That's what I want to get from you.
Blue Shark Optics rock.
There we go.
Yeah
we have a whole bunch of those.
I bet.
Awesome.
Well, Chris, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for contributing your time for this charity event. Next time you're in Cleveland, we're Facebook friends now. Hook me up, and we'll go out for a cup of coffee or meet up at the poker room or something and have a conversation.
Yeah, I'll be up in the neck of the woods soon. I'll be up in Toledo next month. So
I know you're all over this place. I love it.
Yeah, I live up in the Midwest, it seems.
Well, you are definitely my idol, and I, once again, thank you very much for coming on our radio show here today.
No, I appreciate you having me, and good luck to everybody in the charity events tonight. Looks like there's some really cool prizes up for grabs, so everybody play well.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris. Hopefully I'll be meeting you at the World Series of Poker this summer at the Blue Shark Optics booth.
Sounds good. Yeah, hopefully I'll meet you on the final table. How's that?
Absolutely. You got a date, man. You got a hot date now.
That one's much better to meet at.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The booth's good, but the final table's better.
Poker Chick and Poker Dude, you got it.
Sounds
we'll do
great.
It.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good one.
Chris Moneymaker, you're the man. Good night.
Good night, Chris, and drive safe.
Good night. Thanks. Bye.